Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the coming of John the Baptist to prepare the way for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you show us through this our readings how we can prepare to make Jesus Christ the center of our Christmas this year. Amen. This week we're considering the coming of John the Baptist. We have a very familiar passage about the announcement of his birth. Luke is the only gospel writer to give us these details, and in the first paragraph he explains why. He wants his readers to have a certainty of the things they have been taught. Reading the word and listening to the word with trust in God brings that certainty. That certainty deepens our belief. And by believing, we have life. Life in his name, the name of Jesus. New life to share with others. One of the great Advent themes is trustful waiting. And Elizabeth and Zechariah, indeed the whole people of God through the ages, are our example. If you look at verse 17, it is said of John, "He will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." These words come to us from the Old Testament and were prophesied by Malachi 400 years before this episode in Luke. So God's people were waiting for the Messiah. Our trustful waiting is for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we not in a similar position to Elizabeth and Zechariah? You see, the period from Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, to Luke, and this account of John's birth, was full of political upheavals. First, Alexander the Great waged his wars in the Middle East. Then his kingdom was divided into three, and Israel came under the rule of the Greek Seleucids, who gradually introduced Greek customs to the people of God. Their most shocking act was to sacrifice a pig on the altar in the temple. This led to revolts by the Jews under Judas Maccabeus, and finally to the conquest by the Romans, among them Pompey, who also desecrated the temple. The Romans set up puppet rulers, among them Herod, the king of Judah, mentioned in verse 5. Whatever our concerns about our national political system at this time, they are slight compared to these. Yet, and this is the important bit, God was working out his purpose to impact the whole world by the coming of Jesus Christ. For during those 400 years, the Greeks provided a generally accepted language, the Romans provided peace and safe travel, and Herod provided a refurbished temple for the Lord suddenly coming to his temple as a baby with Joseph and Mary. As so often in the scriptures, God chooses a couple no one would have thought of in our human way of thinking. He chose an old priest and his barren wife to be the parents of John, whose purpose would be to announce the coming of Jesus, the Lord God himself. This couple, despite all the political comings and goings they had inherited, and the occupation by the Romans they were living through, were, and I quote, "upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly." The roots of their faith went back to the time of Moses, for Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron, the brother of Moses, and Zechariah belonged to the priestly division of Abijah, as organized by King David. They had a strong faith with deep roots going back to the miraculous deliverance of the Hebrew slaves from Egypt. This led me to think of us, who have deep roots in the prayer book and trust in our deliverance by Jesus Christ. I turn to these words of the general thanksgiving, where we pray that we show forth your praise not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. You see, we signed up for a lifestyle similar to Elizabeth and Zechariah. That is the devotion and commitment of his people God seeks and honours. In this way too, they were the people of God waiting for the first coming of the Lord, and we are the people of God waiting for the return of Jesus Christ in glory as we continue his work he left us to do. The coming of heaven to earth is the purpose of this building, a place set aside for a holy purpose. In that respect, it's not unlike the temple where Zechariah experienced a heavenly encounter. He was not expecting it and was startled and gripped with fear. He saw a being of supernatural power and strength, completely pure, shining with light. Look at verse 19, where the messenger says, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to you to tell you this good news." A spiritual being who stood waiting for orders from God Almighty in heaven, yet with understanding of earth and the people of earth, which meant finding a precise couple in the Judean hillside was no problem. We too are promised that heaven comes down to our earth as we trust the words of the writer of the letter to the Hebrews. Are not all angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? That means angels serve us. Perhaps you have experienced angelic presence. I'm told my granddad saw an angel as he returned from work the day his wife died. That may have been her guardian angel, as spoken of by Jesus. Long ago, another angel warned a branch of my family they did wrong to work 7 days a week, and they were so changed by that encounter, they put away all tools of their trade every Saturday night and kept Sunday for the Lord. I've been told, too, of people rescued from difficult situations by an angel in human form. Often they end their account by saying the person who helped disappeared without trace. Let's ask God to send heaven to earth with angels in our villages this Christmas. John, the child to be born, was to be a joy and delight to his parents and make many rejoice of his birth. I've been privileged to visit the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth on a tour of the Holy Land. The guide let us walk the last mile. When I arrived, there was a tumultuous noise in the courtyard of the house, as 3 coachloads of Polish Christians had just arrived. I think it must have been a bit like that when John arrived, and it is certainly noisy in our Christmas services. So as we meet the children in our families and the children who come here this Christmas, may we find them a joy and delight and rejoice that God has a purpose for every life as he had for John. The narrative suggests that John stayed and cared for his parents until he was led by God into the wilderness to live the life of a prophet, dressed in clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist and eating locust and wild honey. In those days, like his father, he learned the value of silence and listening to God. You will remember, after his months of dumbness, Zechariah prophesied in words so powerful they are still used daily at morning prayer in the Christian church. John, after his time of being with God, understood the one coming whose shoelaces he was unworthy to untie was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The greatest moment for him must have been when Jesus came for baptism, and for a time he was caught up in God. As the Father spoke, the Spirit descended as a dove, and the Son identified himself with fallen humanity. We, like John, experience times in the wilderness and times of revelation. These are special moments for us as they were for him. But there is a calling to fulfill. John's message, honed by times of meditation and understanding from above, is simple. He preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He was unafraid and challenged people like tax collectors and soldiers to change their ways. Jesus himself took up the theme in his preaching. The time has come. The kingdom is here. Repent and believe the good news. There is no better message at this time than the one to repent, turn to God, and to believe. God's message in our first reading was, "Return to me, and I will return to you." This is the central meaning of Advent. He is coming and coming soon. Chase away the shadows of sin and let the light of heaven shine. If we want to grow in the certainty of the things we have been taught, we need to go to Jesus. He is found in the Bible, in the sacraments, and in worship and prayer. We can learn more if we come to Alpha. He seeks us in love and comes searching for an entrance into our hearts in the most humble of circumstances. He is the Lord of life. So let's make room for him and ask him in. He will come in love. Whatever is going on around us at home, in our community, or in politics, we as God's people have Jesus as the centre of our Christmas. How blessed we are that many of our carols encourage us to believe in him. Let us sing carols tonight, or whenever we sing them, with renewed faith in the reality of the things we have been taught. Amen.